Hello,
this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for March 1st.
We'll begin our reading with the front page story entitled Remembering Bobo, Small's Love and Legacy Lives On by Marvin Holman, Danville. When Nate Bobo Smalls first moved to Danville, it was like a hug filled with warmth and love. And even after his death in 2019, that love is still there and carries us on through his family and the town he adopted. Danville was near and dear to his heart when he got here. He fell in love with the place, Smalls' widow, Anita Smalls, said. I have to thank the city of Danville for putting its arms around him and loving him like they did, because he was never a stranger. We would be anywhere in town and people would come up to him and thank him. What they would thank the former Indianapolis Clowns baseball player for was helping the youth of the town through sponsoring summer league basketball at Garfield Park and his work with the Three Kings of Peace with fellow founding members Reverend Edward Butler and the Reverend Frank McCullough. It is Black History Month, and Danville, especially the Black community, has felt the impact of Bobo not being here, and Bobo inspired me in being active in the community and helping kids stay off the streets, LaStan Hoskins, a Danville native and pastor at Danville Community Church of God, said. For me, I looked at Bobo as a positive example and that he cared for the community. I want to honor Bobo and say that even though you are not here, you have impacted us. There are so many in the community that feel the same way, and I miss Bobo. Former Danville Director of Public Safety, Larry Thomason, said he also missed Bobo, but not just because he helped with kids, but because of a long-term friendship. I miss him sincerely. He worked well with me and other police officers, Thomason said. We would have our get-togethers, and I would look forward to that, because he would walk into a room, slow and steady, and he would flash that smile, and that would change the atmosphere in the room. He has a magnetism that I'm sure most people like to have, but he was an asset to the community. He called me a brother in the purest sense, but he said from where he came from, no one would have thought he would call a white man a brother of his, let alone the chief of police. He was always quiet, but he was passionate about what he was after. If you save one, he's done his job. But he was passionate about young people getting together. Smalls moved to Danville from Savannah, Georgia in 1969 and did not slow down in bringing his energy to the town, especially the kids. First, he was successful in coaching kids in baseball. And then he would go on to start the Summer Basketball League at Garfield Park. He was a coach of the Little League team, and he loved it, and saw the need for someone to do something, Anita Small said. He went to former Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower and asked for somewhere to go when school was out. And he asked to have summer basketball at Garfield Park, and Scott okayed it. Scott was 100% behind it, because when they had the tournaments at the end of the season, the city served refreshments, and Scott and he had a great relationship. The crime rate went down during those summers. The courts were named after him in 2017, and Butler said there are plans to honor Smalls even more this summer. We wanted to go out and play basketball for him last year, but the pandemic has prevented us from doing that. Butler said, we are in the process to get a monument, either a statue or plaque, to commemorate him this summer with a tournament in his name. Smalls, Butler, and McCullough would go to every school in the city and talk to kids to keep them in school and out of the streets. I had some really good memories with Bobo, Butler said. He's always been a mild man that really enjoyed being around young people. He loves them and had a real good rapport with them, and he respects them until they got out of line, and then he would get on them. But they all respected him for what he is and trying to bring peace through the community. He would flash a smile when he entered the room, and he extended a hand to let people know someone cared, Thomason said. Bobo was a community leader, and I don't know that it was his dream to be one, but he was a community leader in his own right. Along with basketball in the summer, the Kings would organize marches through the tough parts of the city. We just started marching through the community every Saturday in the summer and tell the kids to stop the violence, and then we started feeding them with big feasts, Butler said. My brother would barbecue hamburgers and hot dogs. He enjoyed that and talked to the kids, and he was firm with them. We had a lot of fun together. Smalls was able to talk to a lot of kids to help them as they grew up. One of them was Hoskins, who was a fellow member of Antioch Baptist Church as a kid. Bobo encouraged me. He told me to stay positive and continue to keep doing what I was doing, and that really meant a lot to me, Hoskins said. Bobo and I would sit down and talk, and he would talk about the youth and how he cared about them. I recently graduated from seminary school, so I am saying that Bobo built the foundation and let me add to that and help the community as much as I can. At home, Smalls raised his family with Anita, and even after he passed away, Anita was still surprised with everything that he did. We were married for 49 years, and I think God was in the plan because he was quite an asset to me. He was a religious man, and he read the Bible from cover to cover. He knew it and lived by it, Anita Small said. He didn't meet any strangers and treated everyone with respect. Danville was so kind to my husband, and I believe that he was loved by Danville, because he had no problem being nice. My husband had cards that were sent to him and letters asking for his autograph, and he would return them. I asked him to put those in an album to remember things, and he actually did, but he never told me about it. After he died, I ran across an album that was in a cabinet, and I was so surprised when I opened it, because he saved every letter, and it is packed with letters from all over. They came from places like Wyoming and Kansas City, and I was pleased that he put together an album. He just loved people. He was a humanitarian at heart, and he wanted to save the world. He was a remarkable man. And that is a legacy that Hoskins wants to follow. I am thankful for the legacy Bobo left, and he gave us something to aspire to for the whole community, not only Danville, but the Black community. Hoskins said, a lot of kids don't have that guidance. So when I saw Bobo go to schools, and being with the three kings of peace, and have kids like me see what I can do, it's like passing the baton, and I want to carry that baton and take it further before I pass it to someone else. I would like to honor Bobo for Black History Month because of the community and those who loved him. What I want to do is help uplift the community by providing resources with our church being active in the community and stop violence. I want to partner with the police, and I want to see people transformed by Jesus. We want to be more out in the community and help people do better. There's a nice picture showing Nate Bobo Smalls hugging his wife after cutting the ribbon opening a set of new basketball courts at Garfield Park during a dedication in 2017. The courts were named for Smalls, a Negro League legend in baseball. Small stated about God, he gave me a mission to work with these kids. Our next front page article is entitled Parents Attempt to Register for In-Person Learning by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Danville District 118 Superintendent Alicia Geddes said the school district is trying to provide parents a framework for a return to in-person learning for as many students as they can, but so many things keep changing. That includes the school district hearing from many parents trying to register their children in the last few days, once hearing about return to school plans. The majority are parents who've not had their children enrolled in school the entire year, with no previous information about where these students have been. Some of the parents have said they've been homeschooling their children, who are now ready to send their children back, school officials said. Danville District 118 school board members at their Wednesday meeting asked what will be done with these students. Geddes said they are working with legal counsel in dealing with this delicate issue. She will report back on what the school district can do and regulate. She emphasized they are not targeting those who really did homeschool. We're trying to walk a fine line, Geddes said. Board member Darlene Halloran said having 70% virtual or non-participating students bothers me very much. She's concerned about what the students have missed out on, how the school district will assess them, and where do we put them, and what are we going to do if perhaps they have this big learning gap. Geddes said the school district can do some testing for these students, and the state board is requiring a 3-year transition plan after the school year for students. Once we get past this, we need to start with that conversation, which starts with summer school, Geddes said. Geddes said they will be putting on the school district website the Illinois Department of Public Health and Illinois State Board of Education guidelines they are working under right now for students returned to schools, including the 6 feet social distance guidelines. We are trying to get as many of our children who want to return back in person. We're trying to work the parameters to make that happen, Geddes said. School Board President Bill Dobbles also said, we'll do everything possible to get our kids back to school. Geddes said, we're the ones fighting for you, parents and students. We're jumping through every hoop they're giving us. Board member Johnny Carey talked directly to parents, saying it's not all on the building administrator. Those surveys need to be done. If you do in fact care about your child, take a minute while you're on your phone or your tablet. Do your survey. We need your information. School board members talked at the meeting about each school, how teachers are or will be wearing microphones and headsets to work with in-person and at-home students, how in-person students will still be working on computers with headsets, but will be able to raise their hands and get in-person assistance, one-way hallways, and using one side of stairways, spaced out cafeterias, how students at Northridge Middle School will have breakfast but take home lunches, and how school officials still are waiting to hear about the total number of Danville High School students interested in returning to in-school learning right now. Southview Upper Elementary School Principal Lindsay Prunkard said they don't have a perfect plan, but they've been hearing from students that it's so much better than being at home, and they're excited to be back. The students have the opportunity before, in between, and after classes to interact with others. In-person learning started there on Tuesday. The limit of 6 feet social distancing, reducing it to 3 feet, was brought up by board members to allow high school students to go 4 days a week in person instead of groups only 2 days a week. School board members said to contact state legislators if they want to lobby for that change. School board member Randall Ashton said transportation also seems to be a stumbling block. Geddes said that's why they are now staggering school start and end times. I think we can accommodate our students, Ashton said. The district's blended learning program is the alternative right now in not being able to have all students back yet, Geddes said. Board member Lon Henderson asked to hear if athletes and those already involved in extracurriculars are choosing to be in person. But Carey said the extracurricular student could be high-functioning, and the student may not want to come back yet. She said she'd rather those open in-person slots be for students who need to be there, and someone needs to do that survey, with the high school survey still being open for them to get back. School officials reported that about 40% of elementary students have been in person, with 70% in person at Northeast, with those numbers increasing daily. About 30% are in person in 5th and 6th grade, and about 25% will be in person at Northridge Middle School initially next month. The school board Wednesday night also approved graduation and 8th grade promotion dates, with details yet to be determined. Archery for Northeast, and talked about upcoming DHS teacher parking lot, DHS and Southwest boiler, Edison roof, and other projects. Geddes also told the board that there was a DHS 2019 graduate who walked the New York City runway for Fashion Week. Our next front page article is entitled New School Board Member Sworn In by Jennifer Bailey Danville. Longtime educator Johnny Carey is taking the place of Gladys Davis on the Danville District 118 School Board for Davis's remaining two-year term. Carey was sworn in by Board President Bill Dobbles at Wednesday night's online school board meeting. Carey has been a school principal, director of student services, and director of human resources. She began teaching at Danville High School in 1977 when fellow school board member Shannon Schroeder was a student. "It is an honor for me sitting in the seat Gladys Davis has been in," Carey said. Carey's fellow school board members welcomed her and her vast education experience. To honor Davis, the board talked about giving her a plaque for her years of service and purchasing a brick for the wall outside of DHS to have her name and service on it. They also talked about Davis being a worthy nominee for the DHS Wall of Fame. Davis's resignation letter stated she had enjoyed serving on the board for almost 6 years and for personal reasons has to resign. "We will definitely miss her," Dobble said, who said she taught his sons in preschool. "Gladys is a hero in this community." Board member Darlene Halloran said she really valued Davis's presence on the board, how she spoke to students in disciplinary hearings and to parents. "She always made us think of students' needs first," Halloran said. "I learned a lot from her on the board. I will miss her and wish her the very best." Board member Thomas Miller also said he enjoyed being on the board with Davis. "Davis had a commitment to serving, volunteering, and being involved and helping in the community. I would also just like to say thank you, Mrs. Davis, for your service, and will continue to pray for you," Miller said. Board member Lou Henderson said Gladys and RJ, her husband, were one of the first community members to welcome him to Danville. Henderson said he hopes she still will provide her perspective on matters. Schroeder said Davis also promoted recruiting minority teachers and the Grow Your Own program. The school board members said they respected Davis greatly and appreciated her heart for the very youngest children, pre-K and kindergartners. And now we'll turn to a staff report entitled Vaccine Shortage Eases, Clinic Shot Capacity to Rise. COVID-19 vaccinations continued on Thursday at the Fisher Theater in downtown Danville, with 400 shots administered by the Vermilion County Health Department and its partners. Health officials have received good news about the temporary vaccine shortage, saying it appears to have ended. There will be vaccination clinics at the Fisher on all four Thursdays in March, and the plan is to vaccinate 600 people on each clinic day. Virus testing will also resume in March, with the state mobile COVID testing team planning to be at the health department on at least 3 days, March 2nd, March 17th, and March 31st. More cases of COVID have been reported this week in Vermilion County. On Wednesday evening, health officials reported 51 cases, 5 residents in their 90s, 3 in their 80s, 5 in their 70s, 8 in their 60s, 7 in their 50s, 4 in their 40s, 4 in their 30s, 7 in their 20s, 5 teens, 2 grade school age children, and 1 infant. This brings the case total since the pandemic began a year ago to 8,432, 262 of which are active. The local death toll remains at 103. There are currently 12 county residents hospitalized with COVID-19-related disease. And we only have one obituary to read, and that is for Janet Sue Cox Winchester, 70, of Danville, passed away peacefully on February 18, 2021, at OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center. Please come join Janet's family to celebrate her life on Sunday, March 7th, 3 o'clock till ? At Sarge's Banquet Hall on East Main Street in Danville. And now I'll return to another staff report entitled The VA Expands Vaccinations. Danville. The Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System, VAIHCS, is now asking all enrolled veterans who want the COVID-19 Moderna vaccine to call and schedule an appointment. Enrolled veterans can call 217-554-4444. That's 217-554-4444. And between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, to speak to a call center representative. There are upcoming clinics at VA Ileana sites in Bloomington, Danville, Decatur, Mattoon, Peoria, and Springfield. On February 17th, the Department of Veterans Affairs released that the Veterans Health Administration has vaccinated its 1,000,000th veteran. VAIHCS has been part of that success. VAIHCS began receiving vaccines in mid-December and has administered more than 5,000 vaccines to veterans and staff. The facility has been contacting and offering the vaccination to the highest risk veteran population using the latest CDC guidelines for prioritization and is now opening clinics for enrolled veterans of any age who would like to call and make an appointment. All appointments must be scheduled. No walk-in appointments will be available. Veterans who are not enrolled or do not currently receive care at VA can visit VA's eligibility webpage to learn more. And that webpage is www.va.gov/health-care/eligibility. And here's another staff report entitled Danville Products, nominated in statewide contest. Danville and Vermilion County is well represented among nominees for the coolest thing made in Illinois. The Illinois Manufacturers Association, IMA, has announced the start of the initial round of voting for Maker's Madness, a bracket-style tournament in which voters across the state will decide which product is the coolest thing made in Illinois. Voting for this initial round of the contest will close at 11:59 p.m. on February 28th. There are 311 products nominated at www.makersmadnessil.com. Danville nominees for the coolest thing made in Illinois are Chewy Granola Bars, Quaker Oats, Fremont Street Las Vegas Digital Canopy, Watchfire Signs, and Recycled Metals, Mervis Industries. This is the second annual Maker's Madness contest hosted by the IMA. Presented by Comcast Business, the competition shines a light on Illinois' diverse manufacturing sector, which has played a critical role in the state and nation's response to the coronavirus pandemic, according to a press release. Manufacturers are developing life-saving vaccines and treatments, producing needed personal protective equipment, keeping store shelves stocked with important goods and nutritious foods, and powering our homes and businesses. Among this year's nominees are massive machines, delicious food and beverages, iconic sporting equipment, advanced technology allowing us to see galaxies, innovative medical advancements, and numerous products used in the fight against the global pandemic. Voters can vote for up to 5 individual product entries per day, with no more than 1 vote per product per day. Consecutive rounds of voting will take place each following week, culminating with an award ceremony on March 24th, when the coolest thing made in Illinois will be named. The wide variety of products nominated from across Illinois is a testament to the creativity, ingenuity, and innovation of our state's manufacturing sector. The men and women working on factory floors drive our economy, and they deserve our recognition and gratitude every day. This contest is about celebrating their achievements, said Mark Denzier, President and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, through the press release. Manufacturers not only answered our nation's call during the pandemic, producing medical equipment, vaccines, and treatments, they are leading our economic recovery by providing good-paying jobs, advancing technologies, and investing in our communities. Manufacturers make the world a better place to live every single day, he said. Statewide manufacturing generates more than $304 billion in economic output, contributing 12% to the state's gross domestic product, the largest share of any industry in Illinois. Manufacturers employ 556,300 women and men in Illinois at an average salary of $88,691, providing $52 billion in wages and benefits. Though manufacturing remains an economic powerhouse in Illinois, manufacturers here and across the country are facing the threat of an aging workforce. Over the next decade, it is estimated that 300,000 men and women will leave the industry as baby boomers begin to retire, presenting numerous career opportunities. Nationally, there are 460,000 open manufacturing jobs today. In 2020, Caterpillar's 797F large mining truck was crowned the coolest thing made in Illinois after nearly 300,000 votes. Timeline of events: February 17th to the 28th, voting on nominations to determine the top 16. March 2nd to March 7th, first round of voting to determine the top 8. March 9th to March 14th, second round of voting to determine the top 4. March 16th to March 21st, final round of voting. March 24th, winner of the coolest thing made in Illinois will be announced.
And here's a staff report: pedestrian death under investigation in Vermilion County, Indiana. A pedestrian death is being investigated by the Vermilion County, Indiana Sheriff's Department. Sheriff Mike Phelps said Edward Saloto, 51, was struck by a vehicle about 10:30 p.m. Tuesday while he was walking east on U.S. 36 east of Indiana 71 near Dana. Saloto was found by a passerby and later died at Carl Hospital in Champaign, Illinois. Phelps said the vehicle that struck Saloto left the scene and has not been located. Anyone with information on the vehicle that struck Saloto or circumstances as to why he was walking on the highway can contact the Vermilion County Sheriff's Office at 765-492-3838 or by anonymous tip online at https://local.nixie.com/tip. Assisting at the scene were Indiana State Police, Heltz Township Fire and Rescue, and Illiana EMS. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for March 1st. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.